You're going to need a great deal of resilience to hear this discourse and this series. Always and always, a teacher such as myself faces incoherent kinds of students. I am teaching something that basically goes against the grain of, shall we say, the American Western experience. It's about denying ourselves those things that we think are essential or are priorities in our life. So when people come to me and say, I don't get this and I don't get that and I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that, I remind them, you're going to die. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, you're going to die. And the whole idea of trying to exaggerate our life through the five senses, through doing things that make our life very, very comfortable, shall we say, well, those are the things that harm us the most. Lhotse and number 12. The five colors blind the eye. The five tones deafen the ear. The five flavors dull the mouth. This is where we go astray. You have to be at your wit's end. It's got to be more important for you to ascend into the heart, the soul, to rise above the body, than to live as we do in our five senses. And it is very, very difficult for people to understand this. We like spicy food. We like loud music. We like things that dazzle our eyes. We are completely sense-bound. So when it comes to any kind of spiritual awakening, it looks boring. It looks dull. No fun at all. And because of that, we miss. Students will not understand why they can't really meditate. Because they're constantly feeding, serving, and making the priority their five senses. Things have to appeal to some sense of having a better life and ignoring that we're going to die. All of us. I want to read you a little story that the Buddha taught to his disciple Ananda. Ananda was struggling just like you. Is this worth it to give up my priorities of my five senses over anything else? Is it worth it? And for most people who live in their genetic disabilities, in their gender, in their ethnic background, no, it will not seem useful. And people look at their life and they go, well, I know I'm going to die, but I'm going to have a lot of fun before I go down. It is such an unintelligent way of living. I've had a lot of smart people in my day, but very few, if any, really wise people. So this story that Buddha told Ananda is interesting. He really hit the nail on the head. He said, suppose there is a blind turtle who lives at the bottom of the ocean. This turtle has a very long life. But every 100 years, he surfaces. Then suppose there happened to be a log floating in the ocean. The log has a hole in the center. The size of the hole is as small as the neck of the turtle. Then Buddha asked Ananda, Do you think that this blind turtle can get to the hole of the floating log in the vast ocean? The turtle's head should be just in the same hole of the floating log to save its life. But can it do it? It's blind. It cannot see. Well, Ananda said, Master, it's impossible. It cannot happen. And Buddha smiled, it is said, and replied, to be born as a human being is a very difficult thing. The possibility of the blind turtle going inside that little hole floating on the ocean that would save its life and give it a life worth living, a life that is precious, is not very likely. Yes, this is true. There's a part of us that is like this blind turtle. Every so often we come up from the depths of our evil, our five senses, our human heart, which is the seat of the ego. And we try to find the light. We try to find air. But we can't buoy ourselves up. And yet there is this floating log there with a hole in it. And putting our head into that hole and then allowing it to buoy us up and float is very unlikely. So Buddha is saying to be born in a human, in the human form, is a very difficult thing. Things have to be given up. The essence of a spiritual practice that is authentic is you must first see that you and I are that blind turtle. We don't see things for the way they are. We see things only as we wish them to be in our mind. We're in a race to have as much sense experiences, sensual things, before we die as we can. Being a human being, being born in this humanity, is not an easy thing. So when you start hearing the way through the teachings, through the Tao, you look at it and go, I don't think so. As Jesus said, unless you deny yourself and take up my cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. There are certain things you have to be ready for. Most people are not. They want a free ticket. They want a ticket to easy peasy land, where all they have to do is say they accept it or they understand it, but they don't. Listen to the Tao once again. The five colors blind the eye. The five tones deafen the ear. The five flavors dull the mouth. Lao Tzu put it very beautifully. When the wise man hears of the way, he works hard to apply it. When the mediocre person hears of it, he keeps it now and then. But when the arrogant person hears of the Tao, they laugh. If they did not laugh, it would not be the Tao. We miss. I know what you're thinking. I'm not going to do this. And I understand. And I'm fine with that. But you keep listening to me. Why do you do that? There must be some part of you that is trying to awaken. Your ego will tell you, I'm trying to understand, Greg. You understand. You're not stupid. You understand. You're just unwilling. Read Robert Sapolsky's book, Determined. You are determined. You were running from your death. You were running from the whole situation of life. You're not seeing the things that are important. And when you do, it turns you off because you know what kind of person you are. Human beings are prone to evil. They're prone to great difficulties. Which reminds me of the old story of the incompetent carpenter. This incompetent man once built a creaky old house for himself and maintained it carelessly because he didn't want to be responsible. He didn't want to be bothered with his own home. He didn't want to be bothered with his own house. The roof threatened to collapse. The floors were too rough to walk upon. His neighbors warned him of the dangers of his home. It was unattractive. But he was an angry sort. Very, very stubborn. Willful. He got angry and he refused to do anything about his house. It was a real ego trip. It was his house. He made it. Nobody was going to tell him what to do. This is how our mind reacts to our human heart. Remember, your human heart is not love. It is the seat of our egos. That's why being so treacherous and evil is so deeply appealing to us. We can always find the emotions for hate, but never for love. The love we know has to do with what somebody has done for us. We only love those that love us. What reward have you if you only love those that love you? That's the teachings of Jesus. Well, finally, the old man, he got tired of the unwanted advice. He put plugs in his ears. The warnings continued, and the carpenters merely smiled, hearing nothing. Inevitably, one day, his house collapsed. Fortunately, the man escaped with minor injuries. But his neighbors scolded him. They said, "You see, we warned you. You are punished by your own stubbornness." The carpenter just smiled pleasantly. He still was wearing his earplugs. And inevitably, in the spite of the disaster, the carpenter went right back to his foolishness and never matured. He built and lived in another hazardous house, thinking he had changed. He was warned, but he never changed. Because by that time, the earplugs were growing in his ears. And it was the normal way of life for him. This is the way we are. If you live by your senses, your ability to see the way will be compromised. I know you're sitting there thinking, "I'm not that bad," or "I get that," but then you got to ask yourself, why don't you do something about it? Because you can't. Your five senses have captured you. You are like the blind turtle and the floating log. The log is that teacher, something that will come into your life. You're going to have to fit your neck in it to allow it to be something that saves you. But no, no, you're going to continue on in your ways. I know it, you know it. Most people who are of very little demeanor give up. They just walk away and say, I'll listen to Greg or I'll talk to Greg at a distance. I'm not going to do this. I'm ashamed, but I'm not going to do it. And then people will say, well, it just doesn't make sense. Of course it doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to. If you want sense, you go down to the bottom of the vast ocean in the darkness, blind, and lay there for 100 years, for 1,000 lifetimes. Of course it doesn't make sense. You have to have the ilk. And if you don't have it, then you need to create it. You need to create an atmosphere for it to happen. You have to do those things that your senses wouldn't allow you to do, that your genetic disposition would not let you do. Are you going to die the way your parents lived? How are you going to live your life? In accord with love? In accord with seeking consciousness? It is better to have one moment, one single moment of consciousness, something that breaks through the veneer of your stubbornness, of your self-righteousness. Just one moment. That's all it takes. And that one moment will create the doubt within you that maybe, just maybe, there's something more. So then you start living differently, more simply, not with trying to mesmerize yourself with the colors of life. It isn't the world. It is the blinding thing of looking at movies and things that, well, bring about the evil in my human heart, accentuate it. You know what they are. You know what kind of stuff this is. I'm not going to get into that. The 5 tones deafen the ear, listening to loud music. Music that has lyrics that don't really mean anything other than hatred. And of course, the flavors. We like that spicy food. We like the kind of thing that is tasty to our palate, but not necessarily good for our bodies. Simplicity, solitude, and silence. The solitude is not just not being in, shall we say, the society we live in. The solitude is to no longer indulge ourselves for the sake of trying to avoid our death, to avoid the reality of our life. When I am no longer trying to do this, then I can find that little hole in the log that is floating there and save myself. It's up to you. I do everything I can to service people into the way. And I understand why they wouldn't want to do it. I understand maybe why you don't want to do it. I understand. But that isn't going to change anything. You are going to die. And chances are, if you're not careful, like the carpenter was not careful, you'll build another house in another place, in another form that is exactly like the one you're living in right now. And you will have to ask yourself, what reward have I for living the way I did? Really, what did I do with my life? Was it an entree to my next one, which is going to be as blind, as foolish, as arrogant as the one I created in this world? That's what all of us have to look at. We're old now, many of us. We have to see things for the way they were, the way they are, and how they have been. Meditate with me. What is the one thing I refuse to acknowledge? The thing I refuse to see about the way I've lived my life? Just sit with it, without shame, without guilt, without punishment. Don't go to your human heart. Find that one thing, that hole in the log. Where there is breath, there is light, there is love. It is love that you are seeking.